The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge. Also watching us on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 and on PCTV Select, that internet app that you can download for free. I'm happy to be here with you this morning. This is Sean Sayre with you on a Friday, October 10th. We are certainly in fall now. As you wake up this morning, if you haven't already, you will have to scrape the windshield on your car. Widespread frost this morning for sure. And find that scraper. And you know you're going to have to look for it anyway, and it's probably good idea to do it now. But yeah, a little cold out. 27 degrees I see here. And it's going to be maybe not quite as cold as it was yesterday, but we're certainly getting into those fall temperatures now, and that is the season. Got a great show for you coming up this morning. We have Justine Dodds here this morning. She's Director of Community Development in the City of Pittsfield. And it's going to be a wide-ranging interview here, I think, this morning. We have lots to talk about business development and what the Community Development Department does. You may not realize all the things they do. I'm going to be talking about short-term rentals and housing projects. Lots to talk about here this morning with Justine. Looking forward to that conversation. First, let's get to the weather forecast and find out what's in store for us over the next 24, 36 hours or so. Here we go. Berkshire
weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Freeze warning in effect until 9 a.m. EDT this morning. Today, widespread frost this morning. Sunny. Highs around 60. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Night is cool with lows in the upper 30s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, there certainly is quite a bit of frost out there. And if you didn't take in your flowers or cover your delicate garden stuff that you're trying to still grow, it's probably over for you for the season now, I would say. But, you know, we had a good season. It was very nice out there. And here we are in October, on October 10th. Again, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive. And Justine Dodds joins me here in the studio. Good morning, Justine. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for 7:30 in the morning, yep. Which is not my prime time. I don't know about you, but we make it work every live show here in Morning Drive. So thanks for being here. It's great having you. I know we've been on the show before, and we've talked about the Department of Community Development. Anyone who watches a lot of meetings on PCTV, as I do, those meetings do come up, and some pretty important stuff happens there before the issues make their way to the city council meeting. As a lot of times, I think people watch the city council meeting, and they don't realize all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes and leading up to those big decisions at the city council level. Your department handles a lot of that stuff. So just give us an overlay of all the things that the Community Development Department does in the city.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So we have, as you said, kind of a wide scope of areas that we look at within the city. The way that I break it down is into kind of three categories. So we have our land use boards and our land use area, which is really zoning. If you are doing anything, you know, how we want the city to look, long-range planning. And then we have a number of boards that we staff and provide expertise to, like the Community Development Board, like the Zoning Board of Appeals, like Community Preservation. And so those are kind of all land use areas that we have under our umbrella. And then we also have parks and open space planning. So while we don't really manage the day-to-day parks, what we do is we look at how we want our parks to look, what we want our parks, what the character of our neighborhood should be related to you know, open space, mm-hmm. where we want to preserve it, where we can encourage activities for recreation. And under that, we do our recreation programs, which are really popular. We have our Halloween parade coming up.
We sure do.
Which is a really long-standing tradition in the city of Pittsfield.
Has some great history.
Great history. Yeah. You know, we do things like the North Pole calling program, tree lightings. In the summer, we do a playground program in three of our city parks. What we do there is just try to encourage the use of our parks for recreation and other activities and kind of build community while we do that. And then we have sort of what I think of as traditional community development. We have our community development block grant program, which is, again, a long-standing federal program that we have had in the city for many, many years. And what we do, what we do with that is we do a range of things that are really about improving the community and helping our vulnerable residents. So we, for example, we do, we can do parks projects if, you know, we need to make an accessible playground somewhere. We can do things like blight, address blight. So we do demolitions of properties as a last resort that really have been a source of blight for a neighborhood. We do our neighborhood cleanups. Those are also really popular events. We also run economic development programs. So we have a number of programs that can assist if you're starting a business or if you are a business. And those particularly have to do with if you're hiring people, so job creation, which is really important. And then we have housing programs and projects. We have operated a really successful housing rehab program for the last 40 years. We can help homeowners if they need improvements to their property, like a new roof, siding, you know, lead paint abatement is a big thing. And then emergency work, like if, as you say, it's getting chilly now and you turn on your heating system and it doesn't work.
A lot of people did that last night.
Exactly. Then you can come to us. We have a program that might be able to assist people with that. And the purpose of that, what I think is twofold, it's been really successful, is we talk a lot about the aging housing stock that we have in Pittsfield. This is one way to preserve it. And we know it's a lot cheaper to preserve units, help people stay in their homes than it is to kind of recreate the wheel there. So that's sort of our big umbrella that we have that houses all of those things. And then there's a number of different projects. And, you know, we apply for grants to make projects happen. We administer grants. We do a lot of programs that I think our mission is really just to make the city a place where people want to live.
And it sounds to me, too, like we have a lot of tools in the toolbox for being an urban district and a larger city in this kind of small county that a lot of smaller towns just don't have, right? So
Indeed. In
a way, we have a lot of housing, we have a lot of more businesses and more people here, but we also have maybe some tools to make that work.
Right, yeah. So we are, Pittsfield is a gateway city, which is a designation that the state came up with that is for towns like cities like Pittsfield that are, you know, we have the infrastructure in place to support a larger population. We all know that we had many more residents here in days gone by.
Yeah.
So we have the infrastructure in place. We are, as you say, the urban center of the county. We house most of the programs, most of the social service agencies, most of the affordable housing. You know, if you can't afford to live in South County, but you work there, you probably live in Pittsfield.
Yeah.
So the state has given us some tools under that gateway cities, and then you know, our capacity too. You know, we do have a really determined and staff that works hard on trying to make things use every tool that we have. So we've been very aggressive in applying for programs that can help us move the needle on our community.
And the community development department also interfaces with several city boards, which are sort of independently working boards, right? You mentioned zoning. So there's a zoning board, so you interface there. The Parks Department, the Parks Commission is another one. The Community Development Board is another one, right? And so they all have sort of independent authority over some things as well, right?
That's right. So those we have a lot of people in the city who have a lot of skills that have volunteered their time to serve on those boards, and we look to them to steer us and tell us where they want us to go. We provide the administrative staff support for them, and they drive the bus as it comes to that. And there are a lot of boards, I think, under our department. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, other things. We have a homelessness advisory committee, which, you know, if you watch PCTV, you can see all of the boards, mm-hmm. Which is a really great thing.
Certainly can.
And we have other things like the Affordable Housing Trust, the Community Preservation Committee, Human Services. Mm-hmm. So really, even mobile home rent control.
Right.
We have a lot of different boards that we support.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts there when it comes to community development, and we do want to jump into some of those. We'll talk about housing in a little while, and mm-hmm. The effects of short-term rentals, mm-hmm. Which is kind of a topic that has come up in this last year that I think Pittsfield maybe had not even really thought of too much in the past. So we'll get to that. But in sort of more of the classic community development, economic development, if you will.
Yeah.
What are some of the tools that the community development department in Pittsfield and Pittsfield in general have when it comes to attracting and keeping businesses in the city, right? Because that seems to be like the engine, especially if we're the urban center of the county and traditionally, I think, the industrial center of the county as well, right? You want to keep that business engine running.
Yes.
And so that we do have some tools, right, at our disposal to be able to attract and keep those businesses going. What do we have?
So we have a lot of different opportunities for businesses all across the board. So if you are an existing business here in Pittsfield and you're expanding, if you're hiring more people or if you're making a big investment, you know, let's say you need to buy some more technology that's mm-hmm. going to move your business to the next stage, we will sit down with you and kind of talk about what your investment is and what your needs are. Hmm. And there are a number of different ways that we can direct assistance. So we have a technical assistance program where we can help businesses with things like, website design, if you need an online ordering system, if you need a point of sale, if you're, taking in, receipts and bills, mm-hmm. we can help with that. We have a small business loan program that can help you as well, that kind of provides bridge funding. Hmm. If you have funding from somewhere else and there's a gap that mm-hmm. you need to fill, we can do that. We do that through our economic PERC, which is our Pittsfield Economic Revitalization Corporation.
Hmm. And that could be really important for businesses, right? Especially if they're trying to take on some additional work or, suddenly they say, well, we could really expand, but how do we do that?
Right.
How do we have the funding? And maybe they've explored areas and they just can't find it.
That's right. So we're a bridge there. And then we have things like if it's a big expansion and the business is creating, really it's based on how much capital they're investing into a project and job creation. So that's really one of the most important things, as you say. That's what we need is jobs that pay well.
Yeah. So certainly we want to support our local businesses, the ones that have grown up here and maybe started off from small means, right? And then they start to get successful and you don't want to see them leave. You don't want
Absolutely
to see them go
not.
Somewhere else, to expand their business. You want to see them do that right here in Pittsfield, right?
Right, right. So we have a process where we we have a red carpet team. So we will sit down with a business that's doing one of these larger projects. And the idea of that is that it's not just the city at that table. We bring mm-hmm. other partners in as well. So if we bring in state agencies like Mass Development, mm-hmm. If you are going to be creating jobs, you might need Mass Hire to talk to you. Mm-hmm. They can offer some training programs to make sure that you have a skilled workforce ready to take those jobs. So we all kind of sit down together and then figure out what can be the most helpful to mm-hmm. make you stay in Pittsfield and expand and continue your business. And mm-hmm. there are things like tax incentives. You've heard A lot of times, like you say, at City Council, where we'll come forward with one of those.
And let's go into that for just a moment, because, sure. again, that's something that we hear a lot. I know councilors on the City Council seem to get concerned when, a proposal for a tax increment financing. Is that
that's
the
right.
actual
yep, that's right.
word? And so it's a structured way to relieve the people who want to buy a building, expand a building, right?
Right.
To be able to, you explain. It.
Yeah. So if, typically we do these when you're talking about something where there's a large capital investment that you have to come up with up front. So
sure.
if you're Interprint and you have to buy a big, big machine that's going to allow you to take on more work.
Yeah.
If you're someone like Elegant Stitches that needs, you've outgrown your space and you need to buy a building.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a huge outlay initially before you can get up to speed and start driving revenue that will help you to pay that off.
Yeah, so, and also help to provide jobs.
And help to provide jobs for people, because you're going to be hiring people, you're going to be taking on more people for this work. So there's a big outlay initially. What the tax increment does is the business continues to pay the taxes, the property tax, if it's property taxes, at the same level that they always have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, it's not a subsidy, so we're not giving them anything. What we're doing is we're figuring out, if you bought that building and put all these improvements into it, your taxes would go up to X number.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we do is give them some kind of we freeze the taxes at the initial rate and then phase in that increment over time.
Mm.
So they can be structured for 5 years, usually about 5 years.
Mm.
So it's just a little bit of a leg up for people to be able to get to the point where they need to have their staff in place and their business running that they can then pay that down.
It sounds like it takes away that big hit at the very beginning,
exactly.
right? So if you were to put a whole bunch of money into a capital project, whether it's a machine or
yep.
a building or something like that, immediately you would take this huge hit
That's
on
right.
taxes. You
That's
would
right.
you would get hit, and you're like, okay, how am I going to, make this work? The money isn't coming in yet or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this way you've got more time. You've got some time to ease into that. And the city benefits mm-hmm. because you're keeping the business here
right.
in Pittsfield. So other communities have some of these same tools as well, right? And that's
right.
kind of what you're competing against in some ways.
Exactly, yeah. And it is really based on the job creation numbers, too. That's
mm-hmm.
really what's most important. And the biggest benefit for Pittsfield is that, this expansion will hire X number of new people who will have good-paying jobs that are sustainable.
Yeah. And then there's Mass Development, right?
Mass Development
helps out with, there's something called, and I don't know too much about it, business improvement district, something that they can designate to help out with as well.
BID districts are a tool that the Commonwealth has put in place that is what a percentage of the residents of a designated area can get together, business owners, and say, we would like to pay on top of what we already are paying for our tax rate, an additional tax, if you will.
And why would they want to do that?
Because it will go, what happens with that is it goes into sort of a pot, and then it can be used to do things within that district. So if, for example, North Street was designated as a BID district, you'd have to have the agreement of the property owners there, but it would give a fund for them to be able to do a lot of improvements and things that they may, that the city may not necessarily have the revenue or the resources to provide to them. So they would get a benefit from that.
Okay.
So that's something that's being looked at.
So it's kind of like pooling their resources to make their district a more appealing area to do business or to bring retail customers or whatever.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have had, over the past 3 years on North Street, for example, we have had a transformative TDI program through Mass Development, which gave us an access to a number of different resources. So you have seen over the last 3 years, 24 new businesses on North Street, for example. Mm. You've seen Dunham Mall improvements, where there has been the mural project. There's been a lot of those types of things that have gone on that have really helped to make North Street really a desirable place to be.
Yeah.
And that was resources. So this is a way to continue with that. They, I think we can see what happens when you really invest significantly in a in an area.
Yeah. We're speaking with Justine Dodds this morning on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Justine is the Director of Community Development here in the city of Pittsfield, and we're kind of going over some economic development points this morning, keeping businesses here, attracting new businesses. There's another area that I want to talk about, because we talked about reinforcing, you know, keeping our and homegrown businesses and giving them some tools and some advantages to stay here. What are some of the tools that we have in addition, of course, to the red carpet team, mm-hmm. which it sounds like a very welcoming thing.
Yes, it is.
If you've got businesses looking to relocate to Pittsfield, and of course, that in itself is a big economic driver. You want new businesses in to provide jobs for people that we have here already. What's that process look like? How does that even work to say, how do you identify businesses outside the area, or do they just call sometimes and say, hey, we'd like to come to Pittsfield. What can you offer us?
So we do, we have a number of different strategies, all of which you just mentioned. So we will, we do have some people that just call and say that they're looking at that. We do some marketing with our business development manager where we're kind of seeking companies. We work closely with partners in the state to say, you know, if you're looking to relocate or if you need space, here's Pittsfield, maybe the place for you. And then we have, like I say, we have TIF incentives. Mm-hmm. We also do are lucky to have the GE Economic Development Fund, which is unique to Pittsfield.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of communities don't have.
Exactly.
After all these years, mm-hmm. after the consent decree in 1998 or 1999, that it still exists and it's still a lever that we can pull, right?
It's a great lever. Yeah. And as you say, we're lucky in some respects to have that, that a lot of communities don't. And what we can do there is we structure things like, incentive payment for them, and it's tier. Most of the time, we have some real, ability to kind of structure it how we want to. So if they get an incentive if they hire X number of jobs. We want them to be good paying jobs too. So there's a limit on how what the salary can be.
Yeah.
It has to be in excess of something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can, that helps them, again, leverage. It's not the only source of funding by any means, but it really helps leverage their other funding.
Yeah.
And it shows Pittsfield is really wants them here, too, mm-hmm. is really what I think is important, too, is that they get that sense that we want your business.
Yeah, that we're open for business,
exactly.
Right? Yeah. And that's always the key. And every community, I'm sure, wants to put that forward, right? To say, you want to be here. And what are some of the other advantages that Pittsfield has, built in? I know we have challenges, right? Everybody knows that we have challenges.
Yeah.
Every place has challenges.
Yeah.
What are some of the advantages, the unique things about Pittsfield that makes a business say, I think we should locate here?
Well, I mean, I think a large part of it is the red carpet team, having that welcoming face. You know, the mayor is part of that always. Having someone say to you, we really want you here. Tell us about your business. Makes people feel like they've got support. You know, that we have heard from people, other communities that don't have that it doesn't seem, there's no front face for the city to say to you, yes, come in and welcome.
Yeah.
We have a lot of advantages when it comes to transportation. Mm-hmm. We're in a corridor here where we can hit a lot of different travel routes.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a fantastic place to live. We've got the open space. We've got such great recreation. We've got skiing in the winter and all the things we can do in the summer with our lakes and natural resources.
Yeah. Not to mention probably being reasonably close to the urban centers of Boston and New York, right? Far enough away where you're not in those ecosystems, but close enough where you could get to them easily.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So I think we have a lot of advantages, and we try to make sure that companies are aware of all of those things, that Pittsfield's a great place to do business.
Yeah. Again, it's Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. You're listening to the voice of Justine Dodds. She's the community director of community development here in the city of Pittsfield. and talking about sort of economic development and what it takes to retain businesses. Just recently, there were two examples that I think you mentioned a couple of them already, or one of them, that came before the Community Development Board and then, of course, by the City Council as well. Look for some funding and some of those tools that we talked about to expand their businesses. One of them was a local homegrown business looking to expand, and the other one is one that was attracted to come in. Yeah. Let's talk about the one that was coming in first.
Okay, so that is a international group that came in, and they have a current are operating some manufacturing out in Chicopee, and they didn't have enough space there. And so they were very much attracted to Pittsfield. They're purchasing a building here that they're going to be expanding.
And that was the building up on Dan Fox Drive, right?
That was
the
Conte
old Conte Archives building.
Yep, it's been sort of a blank canvas for a lot of people. People have been trying to make that work.
A big building, too,
right? A big building. Yeah. It is surrounded by a lot of natural beauty. It's got the ski area right there and all of the mountains. But it was a little bit challenging because it was sort of a blank canvas. And it's a large building, so you need something that is going to be able to fill that and use that space wisely. But they're called Jane America. They do cedar shingles, plastic cedar shingles, which is a really expanding market. They have a kind of environmentally friendly way to do that. And so they have a production line in Chicopee, and they're expanding here in Pittsfield to bring some production lines here. With the intent that building's large enough, they're gonna put some really significant funds into that to bring it up to where they need it. They're going to have to add some loading docks and some other equipment to do the work that they need to do. So,
but that's kind of a new business segment for us here in Pittsfield. We don't have something like that already.
We don't, but and I think it fits in well with a lot of the manufacturing that we do have here. So they're bringing 31 jobs to Pittsfield. And I think that's going to be really great. And they have the opportunity in that building to kind of expand and add new lines, which is what they, what their long-range planning suggests that they want to do.
And keeping a building like that on the tax rolls is another important thing, right?
Very important. Yeah, it's been hard to get that, to find the right fit. I mean, a lot of times that's what it is. It's the right space with the right person. You've got to make that match.
Yeah.
And I think we did that here. And then, like you say, we have our local businesses like Elegant Stitches, which is a really great story. They've worked with the city as they've evolved over time, and they're really growing by leaps and bounds, and they're purchasing a building here in Pittsfield as well to expand. They're also going to be hiring more positions.
So you'll love to hear that.
They're really invested in Pittsfield. They're a great family that's been here and is really, you know, really supportive, and we want to support them in their journey however we can. So that's the small, that's the local one, and the one from out of town. We try to, and it's good to have a match too. You don't want to have, you know, it's good to have balance like that. You have some kind of diverse, you know, we have diverse businesses that are coming.
And I don't know how much you interface with the PETA folks and the William Stanley Business Park, but obviously that's another very large sort of open area being reconstructed as we speak. The Site 9 most recently, right, having been sort of, you know, the old moonscape.
That's
the
right.
Old foundations of the GE buildings are finally gone. And as you drive by it now, it looks like, you know, a nice business park ready to be built upon, right?
Yeah.
Is that a big advantage for
the
city?
It's a huge advantage. I mean, I don't think there are many places that have that much acreage right close to their downtown in that kind of capacity too.
And right on the rail.
Right on the rail. There's a lot of opportunity there at the moment. We're hoping there's a lot of interest too. We're trying to get things moving there. It has the ability to be transformative for that neighborhood and for the city when we find the right match. We've already seen how the BIC has kind of brought businesses in and accelerated their growth, and we're hoping to to pivot on that with that area as well.
What kind of mix of businesses would be a good fit for that area? And I know it has a long history. Anyone who has a memory can remember, you know, the promise of knocking all the GE buildings down. Of course, that was a very complex process.
It was.
And then there was a proposal, I want to say probably 13, 14 years ago, about big box retail on
site.
And then that went away.
It did.
And it doesn't sound like that's the perfect fit for that area. But what kinds of businesses make a good fit for the William Stanley Park?
Well, I think, like I say, we have the BIC there, which is the Innovation Center that is a cornerstone, and they have been interested in things like life sciences, things like manufacturing. There's a lot of opportunity around here. We have a lot of small advanced manufacturing firms that are here that that can grow and expand. And with the work that's been done at Site 9, that allows for there to be more opportunity now. Like you say, it was very difficult to look at that moonscape and think what's going to happen with this.
Right.
And it's had, as you know, a host of environmental issues that's taken a lot of time to kind of address. But
sometimes it's important for someone to be able to visualize,
exactly,
right, and to imagine, almost like you mentioned before, a blank canvas.
Yeah.
You have to be able to say, what could be done here? You don't want to see the obstacles.
Right.
You want to see the possibilities.
That's right, yeah. So we are marketing that as well. We are working with, PETA is working with a number of different national and local places to market that site. But I do think there's a real potential for growth there soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can only hope. It has been a long trip for that particular parcel and that whole property. So everybody, I think, in Pittsfield hopes that that is one of the big drivers of our economic development engine.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Justine Dodds here this morning, Director of Community Development in the city of Pittsfield. And we'll continue our conversation with Justine in just a minute. We'll take that quick top of the hour break that we always do here and identify the station, thank our underwriters, give you some important information out there. And we'll be back with our conversation in just a minute. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We'll stick around. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
This summer, the City of Pittsfield will release its first cultural plan, and we want you to be a part of this exciting event. Funded by the National Endowment for the Arts, Our Town program, the plan includes contributions from cultural organizations and partners that make Pittsfield great, and with input from community members like you. Whether you're an artist, audience member, producer, or creative hobbyist, this plan is for you. So stay tuned to lovepittsfield.com this summer for more information.
Hi, my name is Bill Sturgeon. I am the host of WTBR's Morning Drive. We air every weekday morning, 7:30 to 8:30. The goal of my program is to inform, educate, and have a few chuckles along the way. We have wonderful guests, political, arts, actors, musicians, teachers. I look forward for you to listen in or watch us on PCTV. Thank you.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Yes, welcome back to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It's about 8:04 on Friday, October 10th, and happy to be here with you. Happy to have you along for the ride this morning, whether you're watching us or listening to us on WTBR or WSBR. We appreciate it. We have Justine Dodds here this morning. She's the Director of Community Development here in the city of Pittsfield, and we'll continue our conversation with Justine in just a moment. First, let's get one more look at the weather forecast today. You may have noticed you had to scrape your windows this morning. I don't know if that's all burned off by now. I'm looking outside. It still says 27 on my thermometer here. I don't know if that's correct or not, but blue skies. We're going to have weather up to about 60 degrees today. Nice sunny day for sure. But the frost on your window reminds you of what's coming. Here we go.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Freeze warning in effect until 9 a.m. EDT this morning. Today, widespread frost this morning. Sunny. Highs around 60. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Night is cool with lows in the upper 30s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, nice crisp autumn morning out there for you this morning. What I see is 27. I don't know if that's correct. Seems like it might have warmed up a little bit. It was definitely that cold earlier today, that's for sure. All right, welcome again to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And Justine Dodds joins me again for the second half. Good morning, Justine. Thanks for being here again.
Thank you.
So let's talk about housing. That's one of the major parts of the community development department, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have
yes.
a lot of things to do. And housing right now, I think we can say it is definitely a crisis
yeah.
in a lot of ways. There have been a lot of stories written about it in the local and national newspapers. We're not unique, right, to the
right.
to the fact that we have housing issues.
Yes.
And certainly this year, there's been a lot of discussion about affordable housing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several projects that are either in the works or nearly complete here in the city of Pittsfield to address some of those issues. So why don't you sort of give us the lay of the land there. How are we doing in housing?
Well, I think we're doing really well. I know we don't have enough,
mm-hmm.
And I think we've known that for a while, but housing typically is complicated
mm-hmm.
to work through. The state, like you say, has recognized that there is not enough housing to support the residents of the Commonwealth, and Pittsfield's no different than that. But we have been, like I say, very aggressive over the past 5 years
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out how we can support that. We and create housing and create a housing opportunities all across the spectrum.
Sure.
So whether that is, you know, using the TIF project for housing projects, just
mm-hmm.
like we spoke about earlier,
mm-hmm.
for people who are creating new units in Pittsfield.
Mm-hmm. And what's an example of one of those?
So that would be like the Wright Building on
okay.
North Street.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had a lot of success with those projects. They create new market rate units. We have done things here in the city to do inclusionary zoning so that if you are creating market rate housing, new units in the downtown area, you have to have a percentage of those that are affordable
mm.
for people.
So give us an example, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but the difference between market rate housing and affordable housing, because you hear those terms tossed around a
yeah.
lot, and it doesn't really mean anything until you get to the brass tacks of, okay, how much is the rent going to cost me?
Right, exactly. So typically affordable housing is defined as 30% should pay no more than 30% of their income towards rent
mm-hmm.
or housing. And then we look at what the median income for Pittsfield is, and then we figure out what 80% of that is. So
okay.
if it's affordable housing, it's a person who is making 80% or lower than what the average for Pittsfield is,
mm.
should pay no more than 30% of their income towards housing.
Okay.
Now, we have a lot of people in Pittsfield who we know are cost burdened, who pay much more than 30% of their income towards housing. And that means that their housing is unstable. They're very close to, you know, one paycheck away from something happening there. Yeah. So we like to affordable housing, and affordable housing means that it is deed restricted. So that if it's created for that purpose, it stays that for that purpose.
It always has to be an affordable housing unit.
We usually have a 20-year term. So, you know, when it's created, it remains that way so that we have make sure that we have a stock of housing for people that they can live in affordably.
And does that mean that no matter what, the owner of that property will always have to keep that rent at a particular level based on the median income of people in the county
the
city?
So every year the federal government comes out with a, what they call a fair market rent for every area in the country. And then that's what's based on what the landlord can charge during the term of that affordable housing unit. So,
and then what is market rate?
So market rate is just what the market will pay.
Okay. So it could be anything.
It could be anything. Okay. Yeah. There's no restrictions on it. It's just what the landlord can get.
Supply and demand.
Supply and demand. Mm. That's right. So that's what we think of when we think of as market rate housing.
And recently that supply and demand balance seems like it's a little, it's tipped one way, right? There's not much supply. There's a lot of demand.
That's right.
Right. Which means that people are paying more they are having a harder time finding places to live.
That's right. So there are a number of projects that the city has heavily invested in that are going to help tip that balance. We in Pittsfield have, you know, seen a number of different, we've seen housing projects of sort of a smaller scale. We're not building projects with 250 units, for example, like you would see in Boston or some of the eastern areas of the state.
No new big high rises.
No new big high rises. Yeah. But the character of what we want to keep and maintain is, you know, those projects like the Rice Silk Mill, 45 units that fits in with the neighborhood that's got some significant density there. So we have a lot of those projects. We have a the old White Terrace called Terrace 492. That's going to be opening very, very soon. That's already filled.
So that filled up really quickly.
It filled up really quickly. So we know there's a demand.
Yeah.
And then we have sort of some really specific ones. We recognize that there are a lot of people who, like I say, are cost burdened in Pittsfield. And so we invested with a lot of our local funding, working with Hearthway on some permanent supportive housing projects, which we have not had much of in the city. That's going to make a really, I think, is going to be game-changing for a lot of people. So that's the building on West Housatonic Street that you see being constructed. Yeah. That's nearly ready. That's going to be studio apartments for people who, and it's also going to provide supportive services for people, wraparound services.
Okay.
So that's for people who are have had challenges and maybe, you know, this is their first step into an apartment and getting themselves on track.
Yeah. How many units did you say would be available there?
There's 28 there, and then there's going to be another 9 at the Zion Lutheran Church, which is going to be under the same type of structure. We also are opening, which is very unique. There's not places, there's not a lot of funding to do this, so we were lucky to have some local funding with our ARPA funds to invest in a housing resource center. Which is really going to be a living room for people. So they're going to be able to come in. They're going to be able to access what they want and what they need at that time. Now,
And where's that going to be
located?
That's
going to be at the Zion Lutheran Church also. They have been an incredible partner to the city in stepping forward and saying, we see there's a need and we want to help address that.
Yeah.
So there will be showers there, mail, lockers, all the things we've heard that, you know, people who are maybe not housed at the moment are in need of. And they can, and it's a warm, safe place where they can come in and there will be, if they want assistance, if they want help with housing applications, if they want help with any number of services, they'll be able to get them there.
Seems like a really good reuse of that space also, because that was, at least part of it, was a former church classroom
space, right? Yeah. We're lucky that we've got a lot of creative developers in Pittsfield who've been able to repurpose some of those spaces. You know, like the work that was done at St. Mary's, for example, is really You can see the possibility there. That was sort of a blank canvas, too, and that's been done well. So it's looking at it all across the board. And we have some other projects that are coming forward that are going to be home ownership opportunities because we are finding that that's also been a challenge, that for those first-time home buyers, there's a lot of there's not a lot of stock or supply or way to do that. So we are currently working with both Habitat and Westside Legends to do some smaller projects that will create those kind of opportunities for people who are wanting to become homeowners in Pittsfield.
And I've spoken with Carolyn Valley from Habitat for Humanity a few times here on this show, and we've had really great conversations about what it takes, you know, the sort of sweat equity and the buy-in and the education and the training and things like that. But it really does bring successful home ownership, right? And I think the Westside Legends are hoping to do some of that same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. We've been working with them. So by our counts, we have, and then we have some that are in the planning stages that are not, you know, we have some in construction that are going to be opening soon, some in the planning stages. But by our count, we have about 255 units that will be coming online within the next, 2 years, I would say, 2 to 3 years.
That's not nothing,
right,
as they say. And it does take, I think that we had recently seen articles where they said that you need, you know, City of Pittsfield would need to build X number of hundreds of new housing units over the next 10 years in order to just to keep up with what people are currently needing. And that seems like a big mountain to climb.
It does.
But you can't just do it all at once, right? You have to start somewhere.
Right. And you have to keep going on it, right? You have to always have projects that are in those kinds of stages. So things in the pipeline that are moving forward, things that are opening, you always have to have that that whole continuum moving forward.
Yeah. And also during the discussions and conversation about the homelessness issue here in Pittsfield, it does show that it's a very multidimensional problem.
Yeah.
It's about housing availability and affordability, but there's so many other things involved with it as well, right?
Indeed,
it's
yes.
a complex issue.
It's a very complicated issue, and there is not one story is the same. But this is, I think these new permanent supportive housing units are really going to be able to make a big difference in that area.
Explain what an affordable housing trust is and why that is an important component of what needs to happen with our housing situation.
So affordable housing trust is a tool that cities and municipalities can adopt to create this. It's a board, and you have a board of trustees on that board. And it gives the trust has powers that the city may not necessarily have. So they can acquire land, they can hold land, they can create housing, they can use their, like a developer, like a development agency. So Pittsfield has an affordable housing trust, and we have done a number of projects through that. A couple of these, like I say, with Habitat, where we had some city-owned vacant parcels that we were able to turn over to them. To create new housing units. We use the community preservation funds. A lot of cities who have community preservation funds will set up an affordable housing trust because it allows the CPA committee, who isn't used to reviewing and looking at housing affordable housing projects, the ability to kind of funnel their dollars over to that board who's really charged with understanding and knowing how those projects work. So
without that tool in the toolbox, what would happen to, let's say, abandoned properties or blighted properties or things that have just been, you know, cleared and you've got an empty lot, but the, you know, maybe the city owns it, maybe it's in a tax title taking, anything like that. Does this tool help move that along in some way?
It certainly can do. It's not the only thing. I mean, the city, that's a consistent problem, I think, everywhere. And I think a large part of that is the statutes in Massachusetts, right? So we have a lot of properties that are in tax title, and it's very challenging to obtain ownership of them. You know, the state makes sure that you have to, you know, particularly if it's an estate, somebody passed away, and then you know, you have to name and find all of the heirs, and they have to be notified, and it could take years.
These are properties basically where they've stopped paying,
Taxes.
Their property taxes.
They've walked away from it. So that's a challenge.
So it could be years to get through whatever land corridor.
It's years to get through.
So it's not like you can't snap your fingers and say, okay, you've stopped paying your taxes, so now that property's ours. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way at all. And I know people are frustrated with that, but it's a frustration for us as well.
Yeah.
But we do have tools. So we have the Affordable Housing Trust. We also have a receivership program where we can, if we can catch them where they have just started to decline before they get too far, we can usually, we can use this tool to appoint a receiver to, you know, take charge of the property and, and do things to maintain it.
That could be helpful for both sides, for the city and for the property owner.
Exactly, yeah, because a lot of times people are just don't know what to do when they get behind so much. But it's definitely a challenge for the neighborhoods. And we have, we've tried to do a lot of kind of creative thinking and planning around how we see that, how we can do that, make things better.
Justine Dodds is the Director of Community Development here in the city of Pittsfield. We're talking to her this morning on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. And so much to deal, so many balls in the air, right? And a lot of these things are very complicated, and people would love to have easy solutions to things. Why doesn't the city do this or that? We hear that all the time.
We
know, social media comments can be pretty brutal, and
they
know, you'd love for the answers to be that simple, and they just can't be sometimes.
Right. These are all complex problems, and that's why they were. If we had an easy solution, we wouldn't have them.
Yeah. But it takes, as you can hear from this morning's interview, it takes a team of people.
It does.
Lots of people in lots of different areas to find the solutions
to
some of these
together.
Problems. Yeah. Let's move on to short-term rentals because that was another issue that found its way into the public consciousness here over the last year or two. We haven't really heard about too much in the way of, when we talk about short-term rentals, we're talking about Airbnbs and Vrbos and things like that, right? People who own a property, but they want to rent it out temporarily to someone for a week or for a few days or something. But maybe they live there otherwise, maybe they don't. And this has been an issue, if you read any of the papers from Southern Berkshire County, a much bigger issue down there because of it being maybe more of a vacation spot or a summer spot. You'd want to, there's a lot of opportunities for people that own properties there to make a few bucks back on them, right? Maybe.
Right.
So you can understand why. And so the issue makes its way to Pittsfield in a big way in the last 2 years. What were some of the things that Pittsfield had to consider to make a short-term rental ordinance a reality, and what made it different, I guess, from some of the other towns that have had to deal with it in other parts of the county?
Yeah, so it's a good question. So we the issue became that short-term rentals were not defined in our zoning. So
we didn't know what they were.
We didn't have a definition, so we didn't have any regulations around where they could be operated and how and under what and under what context. So people were operating them, and then there was no clear way for, you know, if you were having a problem, if it was a problem for the neighborhood, there was no real way that the neighbors could get any satisfaction because there was no mechanism within zoning to address those issues.
Right.
So there was a lot to consider because you want to balance a couple of different things. You want people to who own property to be able to make some income off their property at the, and that generates income for them.
Yeah.
But you also want to be sensitive to the neighbors and, you know, if there's issues with how it's being operated, you want there to be some way that people can address those complaints in a meaningful way. And we did not have that. So we did a lot of work, planning work around how best to address this in Pittsfield. So what we had to do was a twofold process. We had to define it in zoning, which said this is what it is, this is where it can be operated. But that still didn't really give a pathway forward for people who want to own these responsibly.
And of course, there were already people owning and running them.
Right. So we created, so that we have a separate process that we created through the licensing board because we determined that these were, you know, the types of things you need to have a license to operate, which gives some basic, you know, guidelines mm-hmm. of around if you're operating it, here's where you are, you have a license to do so. And then if there were problems or issues that could come, licensing board frequently hears issues around, you know, whether it's establishments that are, you know, have a burden on the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And then they can do some, have some mechanism to kind of address that. Yeah. So I think we came up with a solution that makes most people happy. I won't say everyone, but we
That's
have
impossible
a,
in city exactly, government, by the way, to keep exactly. everybody happy. It just doesn't happen.
It doesn't.
But you can find a way that makes most people understand right. And live with it.
Yeah, and it's a reasonable process. I think it's really it's gonna you know, make sure that we're not having, you know, another issue to consider was a lot of people were worried that, you know, out of town landlords would snap up property and
sure.
just have multiple of these. So we've got some guidelines in place that help. And it just, like you say, we had a lot of healthy debate about what was the best course of action. But mm-hmm. I think we've come up with a process that addresses most of what we need.
And part of that was for how long in a year,
yes.
for how many days in a year, a property owner could rent out the property as a short-term rental, right? And there's a lot of discussion about how many days was appropriate. And
right.
settled on 150 days?
150 calendar mm-hmm. days per okay. year.
And there was some talk about maybe making it shorter. What were the arguments on both sides of that?
Well, I think you want to, like I say, balance, you know, responsible property owners. If you want to have make some income from your property, I think we wanted to be fair to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, 150 days would give you a number of different months through when you would typically imagine that people would be wanting to come and vacation here. So through summer months mm-hmm. gives them some flexibility, but it's not the entire year.
Right.
So. So
and then there was
there
was another provision about one property owner in town could own one if they're living in it, right?
Yes.
And then own one more.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So they can, if it's an owner occupied property, they can have a second one. But if it's just someone who's not living in the property that's using it for that sole purpose, then they can only have one.
And then that kind of ties back to the idea that we were talking about just a moment ago with housing also, right? Because
right.
if something like short-term rentals can kind of spin out of control,
right.
if you don't have any kind of regulation or ordinance or anything to control it, you could certainly see a problem where, you know, especially some of the southern Berkshire towns have talked about, you know, the people aren't living there anymore.
Exactly.
People looking for places to live can't because they're all short-term rentals.
Exactly. Yeah. We wanted to make sure we had some guidance that would stop that happening here in Pittsfield because, as you say, we have a shortage of units. We need all the units we can get for our residents.
Are there certain areas of the city that are more likely to have short-term rentals located?
I think it's generally in our residential neighborhood. So if you're in a resident, you know, where we already have residential units is where we're seeing it. I mean, we have seen that probably the more attractive places to have one would be, you know, if it's close to Bosque Ski Mountain, over by the lakes. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of them over there that were using them to kind of generate some income where people wanted to be. Not necessarily in our in neighborhoods, but there are some certainly.
And then the other complex thing I think that came up during that process was the state regulations, right?
Yes.
Because those are things you can't get away from. The state says you're going to do this, you're going to do this.
Right.
And some of those centered around things like sprinklers.
Right.
Right. Now, what has to happen there if you own a Airbnb and you don't have sprinklers, like most residential properties don't have sprinklers?
Right.
What is it you're going to have to do?
There are going to have to be some improvements that have nothing to do with this process whatsoever.
Yeah.
But like you say, the building codes changed in July and have said that if you are operating, you know, like a lodging house, short-term rental, that you may have to put some funding into fire suppression systems, which we all, you know, agree is a good thing.
Being a short-term rental,
but it can be expensive.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to see how that plays out. Mm. I think everybody's kind of looking at how expensive that will be, and I think it's going to depend on the property and what you're trying to do there. But that's something that would have happened regardless.
Yeah.
You always have to be in compliance with the state fire, health, and and building codes, no matter what you're doing.
They may also have to submit to an annual inspection, right?
There's an annual inspection. They're going to register annually, and there may be an inspection to just take a look at it and make sure that it is safe for people to occupy it, which is, I think, what we all want.
It's an odd space for housing and for, right? It's not a hotel. It's not a residence. It's somewhere in between.
Right.
It's being operated by, you know, people that aren't hoteliers.
Exactly.
That's not their bit, but it is a business.
Yeah.
And it can be taxed as such also, right? Fees and things like that.
There will be fees to the city that we will receive from this.
Yeah.
You're right. It's kind of a unique animal, which is why I think everybody has really struggled with how to best make things, you know, regulate these.
Yeah. Well, it's been great talking to you, Justine. Really appreciate you coming in and filling us in on all these things that are very complex, but people really need to know about. And so, again, Justine Dodds, the Director of Community Development here in the City of Pittsfield. Thanks so much for being here on Morning Drive this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Have you back
again. Really enjoyable. Thank you, Sean.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, everybody, have a great weekend out there. Take care. I hear we're not getting the rain that's coming up the coast now until Monday, I think, Sunday night, Monday. So enjoy the weekend while you can, and we'll see you next week. Take care.